Welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast, where we believe being together, being encouraged, and being equipped matters.
Welcome once again to the Refuel Worship Podcast. So thankful and grateful that you're joining us today. I'm Dave Cummings, your host, and I'm here today with my co-host and good friend,
Chris Lahane. And again, life happens.
It does.
So we're missing our friend, Brent Thomas. We love you. Had some illness in the family, so we're hoping all things go well. But that leaves us with an open door for another guest that we were already planning to have as well. So share a little bit about who we got today, Dave.
We're super excited to have Chandler Walters with us today. Chandler's a part of the Refuel Worship lead team and also on staff with me.
Yep.
So we've gotten to know each other really, really well.
Yeah.
He's going to be sharing some highlights and some thoughts, and I can't wait to dive into some of that stuff today. The first bit, and we like to start with this because normally when we record this, it's a Monday morning, and it's Monday morning.
It is.
And yesterday is pretty fresh. So that leads us right into our first segment that we've titled Wonders and Blunders. Wonders and Blunders. So Chandler, we can talk a little bit about this, right? So
yeah,
yesterday,
absolutely.
You had a couple things that happened that you want to share about. But big picture,
sure.
You've been leading worship now for a little while.
Yeah.
So first introduce yourself.
Yeah.
And then share maybe a wonder or a blunder from your journey as a worship leader.
Sure.
Or seven.
Or
Tina.
Seven.
I'm sure I have them. Absolutely. Tons in my pocket for that. Yeah, so I've been on staff at a local church here in Napanee for going to be on my seventh year in August. Been in full-time ministry for 9 years. I love leading worship, love teaching people music and growing worship leaders. Really, really enjoy that. But been married for... just the amount of time that I actually been at Napanee. Ironically, I came on staff. I kind of started the discussion on my honeymoon to come to Napanee. Thank you, Terry Bly. Shout out to him. So
you got a text from him while you were on your honeymoon.
Yeah, as I'm laying on a hammock in Colorado in the morning, being like, "What the heck is this about?" Hey, Annalisa, we got to have a conversation about. So that was good. No, I've loved my time there. Yeah, actually, in just perfect timing and fashion, yesterday we had a blunder. Actually, was doing multiple things yesterday. Was helping MD and play electric in our Sunday services, but also helping out with a worship night with Brent last night at his church. And so I have one from Sunday services in the morning and one from... last night, but yesterday, actually, during the middle of our set, I'm MDing in the back. I'm kind of positioned towards the back. We have our drums in the middle, and we're at a really high part in the song. We're actually doing King of Kings, and we're all just slamming into it, you know. And
how's that go? Could you sing a little bit for that? You don't want to sing.
That's right. It's a new thing for any guest that comes in.
In falsetto.
So,
can you hit the Phil Wickham falsetto for us, please?
You would like me to try to do that.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Sorry.
There's an auto-tune on here, so no.
You're in the middle of King of Kings. The band's playing it.
Yeah, the high point. And off to the corner of my view, I see this black object just fall. And I'm like, what the heck was that? So I keep going. I look over, and surely enough, our click stops, and it was our computer. Now, there wasn't anything that the drummer did wrong. He was just so into it. And usually this drummer, I don't know if you know this, Dave, he tapes down the computer in connection so that it stays in place. Now, from what I know, he's the only drummer that I have seen rock this hard that actually...
You're correct.
It's like animal, like back in the day, animal.
It's something like that.
That's why he tapes it down.
Straight up. So I see this object fall off face down onto the ground. And later my wife was in the service and she was like, "Hey, what the heck happened? What was that big black thing that fell from?" I was like, "Oh, great. It was noticeable. That's awesome."
Yeah. My wife and my daughter saw it too. They were like, "Yeah, we saw the computer fall."
You could have just broken into, "And I fall face down."
Yeah, right. Well, the good thing too is where I was positioned, I couldn't even, I could go and help. So that was a good thing. But we actually came to a low spot in the song. So I was like, great. I can shut my guitar off and go over there and open it. I thought for sure as I would open it, thing was going to be broken. But by the grace of God, it wasn't. So you know, that was covered. That was a little bit of a blunder.
The funny thing with that is Ryan told me, Ryan was drumming. He was like, I didn't even realize the computer fell over. I was like, why did the click stop?
Zero clue. I don't think he even knew the click stopped. So that tells me how loud he actually has the click. Yeah, so that was fun. Glad that we were able to actually maneuver through that pretty well. But last night, man, it was a full week. I was leading electric in our connection service and then playing lead last night at Brent's church. And I tried to do my homework pretty well, but I didn't do it well enough. So thankfully, this was just in rehearsal. But you know, goodness of God, there's two versions.
Right.
You got the Church of the City one, which is like...
has a big guitar intro.
You know, big guitar. And then the other one's a lot more mellow, the OG version. But the click off for the Church of the City version, had no idea that was the one. And so as soon as it clicks off, and you don't come in, that intro comes in right away.
Yeah.
All three worship leaders whip around and like looking at me like,
who are you?
What are you? Where is the part? And I go, is this the Church of the City one? They're like, yeah, you didn't read the service plan, did you? It's like, no, just give me a second. I'll figure it out. I swear. So I kind of figured it out. But then during the actual service, the worship night, I thought I had it down pat. And so I start playing it. And then I'm like, I get halfway through and I'm like, oh, I got to start making stuff up in the key because I don't remember where my finger is supposed to go for this. So that was a little bit of a blunder for sure.
Well, so
do they
mean,
have that on video and audio?
They
that we
don't.
Can maybe
they,
send it to our friends at Worship Prob.
They weren't live streaming, so that's good.
Let's
that's
just good. Check with Brent to see if maybe they have.
They might.
You know, a recorded copy.
We could just play it on the podcast.
I like that.
I think that'd be a great idea.
So there was a third one too. I mean, and anyone who plays electric out there, the beautiful thing about electric, especially if there's two electrics. Unfortunately, there wasn't last night. Is that you are kind of like in addition to a lot of things in worship, right? You kind of create atmosphere. So there was one song we did, Wonder of It All by, who put it out? Elevation just put it out. And I totally spaced on the song. And so I did the classic, turn the pedal all the way down and just pretend to play for about six
go
minutes.
The motions.
Swell on the one every once in a while so they know that you're actually there. So yeah, that would be a couple blunders. Like I said, I've got bags full of blunders.
Well,
for
so
sure.
So I think we should just stop there for a moment and be like, so Chandler, now you know working with volunteers.
Yeah,
you have a different insight. Like when you're like, oh, I sent like this stuff out. Like did you guys not read 100%. It? And you're like, oh, that was me the other day. Grr, what do I do next time?
Yeah, no. I feel that. We appreciate all you volunteers for sure for the hard work that you put in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like, you know, they're like, if you're a leader and you use, let's just say you like your scheduling program, like, you know, we use Planet Center. And so there's always that thing, like when there's a yellow instead of a green and there's like a yellow and people haven't responded yet.
Sure.
And they're like churches I've been at the past where it's like one of our drummers, good friend, like literally never clicked accept. All you have to do, like you
just
click accept all, and it was just like,
is it by word of mouth then that he tells you that he's gonna
he would
be
just
there?
Show up? He's like, you know, I'm gonna be there. I'm like, just hit
click the
button.
Accept button.
There's something so good about just seeing green.
Yeah, confirmation. That's all we want in life. It's just a little confirmation.
So if you're a volunteer, help your worship leader out by just clicking accept and then reading the service plan.
If you're a contrarian, you can still be a contrarian and clip. Accept or say I'll be there. One of the two, just like
yeah, or text him, right? You would like to at least confirm it on your end, right?
Because I mean, because it's, you know, it's gonna be that one time where they're like you didn't accept and like
they forget.
You said you were gonna be there and then you weren't there and so now I'm gonna text you every single time.
The one thing I'll say, I think it should be we should all take a run at for like 3 months being a volunteer every week and see what it's like.
What it's like to be on that end.
Oh, absolutely. Because sometimes I do it and I'm like, oh, that is annoying that I do that, you know, as a leader to them or whatever. You know, you're like, oh, I need to change that.
Well, I think I've been in the MD role, kind of like you were on Sunday, a few times, and it has provided insights for me that have helped me be a different or better leader.
Absolutely.
So I think it's really helpful and really wise for us as leaders to periodically find a way to either be just on the team,
mm-hmm.
or even sit in the congregation, you know, and kind of be led and take it all in. And I think there are sometimes you have like aha moments that you can only have when you're not like leading.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's I think it's really helpful and wise. So, well, Chandler, I appreciate you sharing from your experience on wonders and blunders. I think, Chris, you and I, we have shared our own wonders and blunders, and we'll have more to share in the future. But for right now, we want to transition because we're getting near the Christmas season. And we want to talk a little bit about some super songs here in just a moment. In this segment, we've titled Super Song of the Week. So in a minute, we're going to talk about, Chandler, you're going to share a little bit about some current songs that are just really connecting to you or to the worship team.
Sure.
But before we do that, it's a Christmas season, and we were talking about this off air earlier, and I just think it would be kind of fun for us to just pause for a moment and to just identify some songs that we some Christmas songs that we wish we could sing on a Sunday morning, but we can't. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So Chandler, you're an amazing singer, and you have. Wish people could see. We'll take a picture and maybe post this.
What?
No. Yeah. I mean, Disney has just amazing hair and
it's
beard.
The locks,
I mean,
of love.
I mean, no. he looks like a movie star, right?
No,
I mean, that's what people say at least.
Contrary.
And
he's like the Meyer brand Jesus. It's like
the Meyer brand. You said Meyer brand.
I'm not gonna call Jesus? Him. I'm not gonna call him Jesus. He's not Jesus.
Why not Walmart?
I love that you said Meyer. That was kind instead of saying off-brand. off-brand is a lot more derogatory.
I grew up in Michigan. We didn't have Walmart for a while. It was Meyer. It's kind of like we're just getting Chick-fil-A up in Meyer, up in Michigan. So
Michigan's okay, but Meyer does rule. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
See, just get with it, Dave.
Okay, so what's a song, a Christmas song, that you wish you could sing on a Sunday morning? I think I'm going to ask you, Chris, to go first, and then because that'll give Chandler a moment to figure out what he wants to sing, and then I'll wrap us up, and then we'll move to something more serious. But like, Chris, you're here, your church, what's a Christmas song, a popular Christmas song that you just wish you could sing?
Dude, I just, like, I'm about the engagement. So you know if you do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
how's that go?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Reindeer.
Had a very shiny nose.
Like a light bulb.
See, just like that.
Yeah, see it.
It's the engagement.
Everybody is.
So you get up there, everybody should go.
That that's such a worship leader thing of you.
That's great. And then you have somebody like in like a reindeer suit with a red glowy nose, and it just takes it. Then the
experience. That takes it to a whole nother level.
Now that just went to
you get the haze going.
That went to youth leader right there. You were at worship leader, and then you went to youth leader. That was good.
Yeah, it's in my background, man.
I know, man.
It's still in my blood.
Oh, okay. So he would sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and get everybody involved. Chandler, what's a Christmas song you wish you could sing on Sunday morning, but it just wouldn't quite work?
Oh, man. Probably Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. That one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and warm. That was good.
Keep it going. That was so soothing. Come on.
No. No. But Dave will take it away. Dave's all about it.
Dave has that one on repeat every single day in his office.
That's right. It's just... Yeah, Barry Manilow version. So I don't even know. He probably doesn't have a version. But so the one that I wish I could sing would be the classic. I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus.
Kind of a weird context to have in worship,
but you know. But you know, it just would bring couples together. Maybe I don't know.
Have you ever? Yeah,
that could get a little awkward, a little quick. Like
yeah.
Maybe
affectionate people during worship is. Man, that's something.
You think
we have enough people.
Crosses a line.
If you're sat in the back of the church sometimes, and you're like, they're a little too close.
Yeah, like, I have seen that.
Just having people greet one another. Like all the introverts like hate the worship leaders when that happens. It's like,
they do. They
you're
do.
Making me shake hands.
I don't want to talk to anybody or look.
Now you want me to sing about kissing? This is wrong.
You know another question I would have.
Yeah.
Have any of you had any songs in your pre-worship playlist that have been, you know, had to take out for whatever reason?
They got flagged.
That you thought was going to be like, hey, that'd be a good one. And then you're like, it wasn't a good one.
Well, I mean, are you thinking about what I'm thinking about?
I'm thinking about that.
Was it Silver Bells? Which is like not that big of a deal.
Which I can't remember. And did you put it in? I think I might have. Yeah, I think I probably put it in.
I'm
sacrilegious over
here. It was
here.
Playing, so pre-service music, we were playing like a Christmas playlist. And we tend to be fairly, most churches probably are, fairly conservative. We play just
Jesus stuff.
Classic yeah. Christmas songs. and then I was in the room when it happened, and our lead pastor at that point looks over at me and goes, "Hey, did they just play Silver Bells?"
Absolutely.
And I'm like, maybe.
Oh, it was such a good tune, you know what I mean?
They asked us to pull it out. I don't remember if there's any like questionable lyrics. I think it was just secular pop.
I don't think there is, yeah.
Pop.
Maybe they just didn't like silver. Maybe if it was
red created a heart of like, you know, coveting silver.
Maybe, I don't know. So, okay, so those are some songs. I mean, we could probably go around the horn one more time, but we won't take the time to sing more for everybody. But
yeah, appreciate that,
Chandler. Is there a song? This segment's called Super Song of the Week. Is there a worship song or a Christmas song that you just found really meaningful in this season, life ministry, or one that has just clicked with our church?
So I got two actually, and it's convenient because everyone's gotten their Spotify rap or their, I do music or Apple Music. So whatever they call that. But I was looking at that actually before I got on here. And one of the worship songs that came up for a lot of times that I played this year was At the Altar by, that's Elevation too. Yeah.
I was about to say it was so good that he doesn't remember.
Well, no, I don't remember the people singing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Tiffany Hudson and Gamboa sing that, but
is that At the Altar or On the Altar?
At the Altar.
That was At the Altar.
Yeah. So, yeah, super, super stellar song. What's the part in the song? It says, like, choruses where the tears of the desperate reach the feet of the Savior. Nothing I want to offer. There's no waste at the altar. Where the heart of surrender meet the hands of the Maker. Nothing I want to offer. There's no waste at the altar. Super challenging, I think, because I think for my own self, a lot of times in life when you are called to lay things down, right, you never know if that's going to be something that you get in return or whatever it is. That's a myriad of things that can mean. But yeah, it's been a really impactful song for me, one that the Lord and I have soaked in.
Yeah,
for a lot of hours. So that's been really, really rich.
At the Altar by Elevation. The theme is really it's a song of surrender in a lot of ways. So
absolutely,
if somebody listening is looking for a song that could potentially work in their church context, it might be a song that that would fit. They should at least check it out.
Absolutely, that's a great song. And then the other one that we kind of introduced. We don't do this a whole lot. Phil Wickham's "The King of Christmas." Worship, I feel like, in the past couple of years. But his song "Behold," we introduced a couple of weeks back in our connection service, and I think we're just going to continue to. I'm going to probably do it this week, and then save it for the Christmas Sunday on the 22nd. Just because it's more than just a Christmas song, right? Like it walks through his birth to his resurrection, so it's not like, but it still has that Christmas flair to it.
Yeah.
So
probably similar to like a King of Kings. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Kind
yeah.
of birth, cradle yeah, yeah. to the grave kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It definitely, because of the bridge that they add in, it definitely tips very, it
yeah,
tips
oh, more come, Christmas. Let us adorn, gotcha. I think he throws in there, but it.
So it feels Christmas.
And it, you know, they got some arrangement that feels very Christmassy and warm, but yeah, it's the message, obviously, Behold, is just great during the season, you know?
Yep.
So that one's been great.
For me, I was going to say, like, I'm late to the game on this one. So I don't know maybe you guys have heard this version. So I would say this is one I haven't implemented yet, but I'm just curious if you guys have. But there's a Christmas version of Holy Forever. Do you guys know that?
Oh, huh. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We're going to look it up.
I saw, like, I was one of the worship groups I'm in on Facebook group. Somebody posted that, and they were like, "Hey, does anybody have any core charts for this?" And I was like, oh. I was like, okay, now I got to look this up.
Yeah.
And then I heard it. I think on Phil Wickham's newer Christmas thing.
I saw he has that song. I didn't even listen to it because I just assumed that it was.
So he rewrote lyrics then for it?
Well, so I'm not sure exactly where, because then after I listened to it for a little bit, I heard Chris Tomlin do a version. I was driving in my car. And so heard that. I can't remember like what station or if it was. I was on like Spotify Music, and it just happened to pop up. I'm like, oh, this is what somebody's talking about. So, yeah, the chorus stays the same, But then there's like more Christmas oriented.
Kind of like what Blosh did with his stuff, right?
He's done that several times where he's woven into one of his songs a Christmas carol.
So, part of something. I would say
check it out.
Holy Forever is one that probably in the last few months we started to introduce. I know it's been around for a while, but our people have grabbed, grabbed a good hold of it and just the truth. And I remember, I think one of our keyboard players was like, "Hey, there's a song like I don't know if like this is one we could work in." And it was Holy Forever. And I said, "Actually, it's been on my my whiteboard for a while." And I was trying to find like the right time. And we were talking about even having like the kids do something in a service with that.
Yeah.
And then just didn't happen. And then the time kind of presented itself. So as I think more into that, I have to like look more into that and be like, maybe that's something we could pull in. Yeah. I had originally at least thought about like trying to weave in just that chorus into one of our services. But if it has, if it's like where I'm like, oh man, we could like learn this and throw this into like a Christmas thing and then have that kind of throwback feel when we get to the chorus. So I say check it out. I'm sure there's others if other people that are listening are like, dude, we've been doing that for a while.
That's a good suggestion.
And like last week we were talking about incorporating Christmas songs into our services, and if Holy Forever is a song that really connects really well, that may be with your church, may be a song that you could tag onto and tag a Christmas carol or something onto that song to create a medley a little bit, but not something brand new.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Well, and I would say, I know that you mentioned this last week, and I'm not sure if I like had mentioned this too, but I wanted to like reiterate, like, I think that's one thing that I have seen is when you're doing something a little bit new and then you kind of go to something familiar, like sometimes it takes that abruptness of like you're doing like a new song that people, you're not really sure, maybe it's the first time, but like you do that and then you tag it with something that's familiar and has been around.
Sure.
And it just seems to kind of take the edge off of that being like, oh, this is just a new song. Like but so it's like that kind of almost like that comfort food feel. Like,
sure.
Oh, I'm just I need some like mac and cheese.
I can jump in. Yeah. Kind
of, so yeah, I thought that was good.
Yeah. It's always good, I think, to sandwich something new with something familiar. It's always, I think it always helps the congregation. Cause remember we're focused on leading people, not just leading songs. It helps our congregation, I think, connect with those new songs. Yeah. So
we must all be hungry. We just had a couple of references of different foods. So.
We will be getting lunch after this for sure.
But no, that's good. That's good.
So I think that that's a wrap on this section, the segment. And we'd like to transition to another segment that we've called Tips, Tricks, and Tools.
Spectacular. Give me 14 of them right now.
Tips, tricks, and tools. In this kind of segment, we like to talk about some resources or strategies that we have incorporated into leading worship. And we were chatting before we went on air about a couple things that Chandler, that you'd like to share. And I think one of them is connected to using an MD. Let's start off on this discussion a little bit.
Well, I would say before that, for maybe those who are listening and like the concept of MD is like a new thing. Explain what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even the initials, because some people have been like, okay, what's MD? They keep saying
my
MD.
Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Like so. Yeah, yeah. As you share about that, why don't you unpack that a little bit for people?
Sure, absolutely. So MD, to those who don't know that term, it's just music director. And a lot of churches have started to integrate music director, which is one of your volunteers, someone on staff that would just have another mic that is strictly to that person, the rest of the band's ears, if you guys are running in-ear monitors. But it's been, music directing has just been not necessarily a game changer, but it has shifted for us to have a little bit more fluidity and confidence in that fluidity, if that makes sense. So, and it doesn't have to be super complicated. Like, I think if you just have somebody who can even call out, doesn't even have to be like call out some transitions of songs or provide some ease to the band when things get a little bit squirrely. You can, you know, someone can audibly say, hey, everyone, just let's go back.
Watch the click or something.
Yeah. Watch the click, you know, be mindful of that. And it's amazing when you have someone say that in your ear, everyone starts going,
Yeah, especially if you have like the animal drummer behind you.
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. Watch the click.
Yeah, I have it in my ear.
Yeah.
Stay with it.
The computer has dropped. Everyone, don't freak out.
That's right.
Running around. So, that's been something really great for us. But I think as we, what are we, Dave, 2 years into kind of really intentionally adding this, it doesn't have to be super complicated, like I said. So starting someone to even just putting a mic in front of them, whether it's your guitar player or piano player or drummer, those are probably the three that I would say are the best. I mean, you know, you do it on bass sometimes, but I just think it's really beneficial. And you can even start out by saying, hey, we're going to put a mic in front of you for this rehearsal and don't worry about Sundays, but we're just going to kind of cultivate this culture of like fluidity. Now for us, we Dave and I are on staff and we have another person on staff, but we actually have a one of our guitar players who actually was kind of the one who made us
he pushed us a little bit more,
which I'm glad he did. But sometimes it's as simple as just calling out, hey, the next song is, and that's how you can get people used to that, because that's a little weird at first to have someone talk in your ears. There are things like when I'm MDing, like Sam, or one of our other worship leaders at church, was reading a passage. I'm obviously like trying to stay quiet, because if you have someone talking in your ears when you're trying to read or explain something,
it can be a little distracting.
It's really distracting. But just as if you're playing loops, I mean, it becomes just kind of second nature when you hear that stuff.
Yeah.
If you turn that person up, though.
Yeah.
So you quickly find out who doesn't actually have the MD up.
So the way what initially kind of pushed us, I guess you could say, to start using an MD was because we were trying to figure out how we could, this was the initial catalyst for it, how we could better resource and equip volunteer worship leaders who have a passion for like leading worship and can lead the room pretty well, but either didn't have the skill set to direct the band or the experience, or didn't really have the desire to. That was really what started us down this journey, because we had a number of really key volunteers that could lead the room and lead worship really, really well and sing really well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they would go, can you just do like that bada bam boom boom thing, whatever, you know, on the drums? You know,
they basic just, drum language,
And so that was really, our goal was to try and to eliminate that so that they could focus on doing what they really were passionate about. Yeah. And some of those other details, whether it was transitions or directing the band a little bit, or telling people when you know what to play on an underscore, those kinds of things, that we could kind of take care of that, working in collaboration with them. And it has worked so well. Yeah. And the byproduct, I wasn't sure, just honestly, as a worship leader, I'm like, I've been doing this a while.
Sure.
Do I really want to use an MD? And then what I have found is, like, now that we've started to use it, I'm like, oh, I kind of miss it when we don't have it, because then I have to be the one then kind of like, you know, given, as a worship leader, you know, all the, like the signals, you're stomping your foot or you're, you know, giving some hand signals.
Takes
you know.
More mystery out of it.
Yeah, well, you have to then care for all that stuff. Where if I can have the MD communicate some of that stuff, and we use it mostly in transitions, or to help, like I said, or to help a volunteer on our team. On Sunday, I'll just talk about, I was MDing, and one of our worship leaders, a volunteer worship leader, was leading, and in that context, I found myself almost at times functioning like the cues track on multi-tracks, where at times
you were,
I was
being
literally like
the Andrews.
I was literally like verse 2, 3, and then I'd opt out.
Absolutely.
You know, bridge 2, 3, and then I drop out. Or we're coming down in bridge 2, 3.
Yeah.
You know, little simple things like that. Now it takes a little bit of work to get comfortable doing that kind of stuff. But then I also found, and this is the art in it for me, I also found that you need to figure out what works for your team and for that leader, because some leaders want you to talk a little bit less, some want a little bit more. And so I MD'd very differently in each different song
because
of who was leading them. So we worked really hard to figure out how to make it work in our context.
Yeah, and I would even say not only for our worship leaders, but also for just inexperienced people to playing with a team is so beneficial. We had we have a drummer at our church who had never played with a band before, and so getting an MD was like a game changer. In fact, it helped onboard him way quicker.
I agree.
And it helped us out leading, you know what I mean? And so that was super nice to be like, hey, you know, once the part pauses, like, no, let's go to a straight build there, or, you know, in the midst of it, to remind that person, like, oh, right, this is where I go, to just, you know, help with how a song is crafted and dynamics. And it's crazy the confidence that it adds when someone's like, no, you're— there's sometimes when I'm MDing, if it's the right band, where I'll be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, that sounds great. Just a real quick affirmation. Hey, guys, sounds really good. You know, or even yesterday, what was the song? I can't think of it. But it comes in really strong. Oh, it was the Jeremy Riddle, Joy to the World. Just reminding them, it's really soft in the beginning. But right before, hey, remember, we're going to hit this part hard right now. You know, and then everyone comes in confidently instead of hesitant, like, are we going to be there? You know?
Well, and we have in the worship center, we have three services in connection with you have two. And so I use it every, at the beginning of every service to really remind the band, hey, don't forget, here's how we're starting. And it was like, Sherry, can you bring, don't forget to bring in that nice C chord.
Right.
When the countdown goes to two, we're going to flow right into the choir song, which we had a special choir song that started off our Sunday services, which is a little abnormal. So like every single service, I just, and it kind of becomes maybe a little monotonous, but just to remind the team, okay, here's how we're starting again.
Yeah.
So we use it like I use it like that every week, either when I'm MDing.
Right.
I also set up, this might be helpful, Chris, we set up an MD mic, just, it's always there off to the side. But even if we don't have an MD, like just we have an MD there. Mic so that us as worship leaders, if we don't have an MD schedule, can go back and do some communicating.
Because of baptisms, that's right? A recent example of you know, when things go longer, someone's being able to give their testimony a little bit longer, you need to tell the band in the moment, like, we got to cut this or that because we're going to go way over if we don't, you know, instead of like old school days was like, you know, lock eyes with me and I'd be like giving you signals like verse two.
And you're sort of like, what is he saying? What is he, what does he want? I have no idea. Just kind of follow him.
Yeah. As a worship leader, you're like,
are they throwing daggers at you? What's going on?
This is going to be a huge blunder if not. And I would also say like, I think we don't do a whole bunch of loops and tracks.
Right.
For our stuff. And so, and I think sometimes that might seem really complicated for people to be like, I don't know how to work Ableton or this
Loop Community
stuff.
Or whatever. Yeah.
It's simple then to add a volunteer to be like, hey,
yeah.
But, using stuff like Ableton is definitely another opportunity for it.
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned this before, Dave and I, you know, we were on staff together and I remember like going from no click to click. Like I remember the first Wednesday rehearsal we had and I was like, I really do know how to play guitar. Like what just happened here? Like this foreign thing just, and so like it was uncomfortable, but then you know, it's, a lot of things you just have to get used to. I remember one of our drummers too, who is like, well, that takes away the spirit, like just being able to be spirit led. And I'm like, and like, so, you know, I think at first some of that stuff people are really resistant to,
sure.
But then once they get in and they've practiced with it and like, oh, this is more freeing, because then they don't have to worry about like, it's just, you know, like I've heard other people say, the only perfect musician is the click. As long as as long as something doesn't crash or computers get knocked over.
Oh, consistent one, I call it.
That's right. That's right. And so it helps keep everybody together. But that's where I think, you know, you have the click, which helps people stick together. So maybe that's a starting point for some, trying to integrate that in. But then it's always like, I remember trying to make detailed notes on my chord charts and stuff for band members, and we'd walk through and like, all right, so for this song, and you know, it's like, it adds an extra 30 minutes to rehearsal because you're walking it through.
For sure.
And then people forget it anyways.
Uh-huh.
And so, so at one of the churches that we started implementing using click and cues, and I think we started with multi-tracks and I shifted a little bit to Loop Community, and both are great
resources.
Mm-hmm. Like, But then, and some of them have even modified. Like I know Loop Community, that's kind of the universe that I've kind of stuck with.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they got light tracks and handsome tracks, and then they have full on tracks.
Sure.
And so it really, you can kind of build based off of what you're comfortable. The thing with Loop Community and stuff like that is you have that person you can change. It's kind of like GPS. Sure. You can change it to like a British accent or, you know, Australian or whatever, or just like soothing. Or you can have Meredith Andrews or whoever.
What's your guys' preference?
I just keep the straight. I think is it
a male voice?
Might be McCoy. Yeah, it might be Matt McCoy.
It's Eddie Hoagland.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It used to be, at least.
Okay. Yeah, they have different options, and it's like I like every once in a while, like
switch it. Once
I throw people off.
Just to keep it fresh.
It would throw me. I'm like, oh, there's who else is on the team? There's this singer,
female Australian voice. What?
Yeah, it's Brooke Lizardwood. She's sharing with us, but yeah. So it's, I mean, like that took some of the guesswork out because then it's like I can't, you know, I personally couldn't MD because I'm singing, and so we have the clicking cues in person doing that. The trick, you know, originally was it was hard. Like, how do I, as this worship leader, like if we want to make a modification or something like that and have some of that freedom, unless the person running it is really well versed in it or they got pedals. So I would say Loop Community Multitracks, you can do that.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have to have several volunteers who really learn.
Yeah.
And then it's like you being in tune with them and kind of going, it's empowering some, like if you have that good relationship with somebody,
it's very true.
And they're also being observant and feeling the room, mm-hmm. where then they can then call out and like, hey, we're gonna go back to the chorus here.
Yeah.
Cause I like that. Like it stretches me at times to do that, because instead of going originally where I was very regimented, like, all right, we got to stick to this.
Sure.
Cause some of it has to do with your lyrics.
Yeah.
So it's a whole team effort. But now, you know, now we have somebody who, one of guys, his name's Micah, who, uses Ableton, and he's our MD and does a great job with that. But like there is like opportunity, and he and I have a good working relationship and talk through things. And so like, he knows like if there's a moment in the room where we're feeling it, like, hey, let's go back to the chorus. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that empowerment. We have that relationship where it's like, all right, let's do that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Can feel that moment to where it is. The nice thing too, is if you're using Ableton, you have somebody who does that and they're well versed. If you do have kind of that oops and you're off, which never happens to me ever. Like I don't
That's
know.
Super convenient. Yeah.
Wow. You're amazing.
It's just like
host of the podcast never screws up. Wow.
Never. We never have that.
Yeah.
But they're able to help kind of get back on, and whether Absolutely. It's like, you know, changing something quick in Ableton or, you know, re-triggering the cue. You know, you have that ability to go back or be able to call back and be like, all right, hey guys, we're going to go, you know, and, we're going to take a moment, and then we're going to come back on the one right here. So,
yeah. So there's two other things that I just want to note about MD, about using a music director and MD. One of the things that we found really helpful and is to coach our MDs to use questions. And so like I did on Sunday, Jeff was leading, and Jeff, do you want to repeat the chorus? And then as a worship leader, you know, they don't look at you and they can just nod, you know, or shake their head no. And you go, okay, we're going to the ending now, you know? And so that gives you some flexibility there. The other thing that we've learned, and we stumbled into this, is that our production staff and mm-hmm. like our audio guy, and we have a production director that's up in the sound booth, they can listen in. And so in key moments where they're like, okay, we think it's going to change. So there's obviously something happening in the service that will that's going to change the direction. So they have learned to like listen in. And on that morning that you mentioned where we're having baptisms, Chandler.
Yeah, yeah.
They could tell like, oh.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
like I just pointed to my ears, and I was by the MD mic, and they made a switch on comm, and then they were able to listen into what I was saying, and I was able to communicate with them so that they could make the adjustments on lyrics, both for our live in the room folks and for our live stream.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there are these like little kind of, I would call them soft benefits, that you can take advantage of as well.
Helps integrate the whole team. Yeah.
And using an MD.
I think the next iteration for us, where I would like, because I even experienced it yesterday, and we have them, we just don't utilize them that much, are hand signals.
Yeah. And you know, those are kind of the OG when you go back. Like people used to hold the C for the chorus, you know, all these. And we still, like most of our team knows those hand signals.
Yeah.
But we don't use them often.
I remember one time I was doing this to Jess, which I'm
you're wiggling your fingers wiggling kind of up and down.
Which just means like continue to vamp, play out. And she was like, bridge, chorus. And I was like,
are you waving at me?
No. You know what I mean? So
what is he doing?
It's a work in
progress. Is he waving something smelly away? What's going on there?
Yeah. Work in progress. But yeah. MDing, definitely.
So one other tip that we talked a little bit about is taking advantage of rehearsal mix.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk just for a moment or two about that? You use that. Some of our volunteers use that as well.
Yeah. So we invested in that this year. And honestly, it's not a crazy price is what you would think it would be. But it's nice. I was playing a lot of electric lead this week and, between a Sunday service in the morning and a worship night. So I had so many parts
to learn. Yeah.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, and I know you can do this in other apps and stuff, but in Rehearsal Mix through Multitracks, you can actually make a playlist of all your songs that you need to learn that week. And then you can change the key. And the best part about it is it separates out your parts. Now, sometimes it gets a little...
It elevates them in the mix, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, you're playing with the band, but like if you're playing lead piano or lead guitar, you're like, oh, that part sits above.
Right. And so you can really fine tune of like what's actually going on there. And honestly, it's grown me as a guitar player to get out of my comfort zone of where I'm playing on the guitar usually. And actually like learning different parts, which has been really fun, challenging, but really fun to learn that kind of stuff. I know for other people on our team, that's really helped them to kind of like know, what do I do? Mm-hmm. So that's been really beneficial. But then the fact that you can minus the mix and you can try to play with just the track without that guitar part, you know what I mean? So it actually feels like, oh, it's dependent on me to cover this. Otherwise it's missing is another good factor. And then the changing of keys is super helpful.
Yeah, you're able to put it in the key that you're going to be playing it in.
And it takes seconds to do it. That's the other nice thing.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, one of the things, like I think I mentioned on a podcast before, but you know, there's lots of online resources now that there weren't when I was first starting out, you know, playing guitar even. You know, it was like maybe somebody has on YouTube. But now, I mean, YouTube is a great resource.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's things like Worship Artistry, Worship Online. And I know one of the places churches I was at, you know, a person was using that on their own before I even, you know, came on staff. Yeah. And so the trick was, you know, they'll usually do those in the key of the original song.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like, you know, like I'm a tenor, but I can't sing as high as Phil Wickham. So I can't do things in a D flat or, you know, whatever. Sure. And so like that was like a frustrating point because it's like, well, I learned it in this. Like I can't sing it in that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't. And so, you know, like they're learning it by the tutorials on there. The nice thing is, like with some of those now, like that changing that key factor, you may not be able to like change so they can see what they're playing, but at least they can hear it before rehearsal. And you can, you know, warp it down a step or two and be able to hear that and play that.
Yeah.
And then, I think those are just continued things that continued development personally and then within your team and being able to listen and soul out. Cause you know, if you're listening to the recording and you're trying to learn it, you can't isolate things.
Yeah.
But that's where I think, again, it's just other opportunities and resources to try to help continue to grow yourself, your team and essentially the kingdom, you know, be able to grow worship and the experience together as we try to give our best to the Lord. So,
well, the nice thing about, Planning Center is that they offer that additional, it's kind of a secondary app called Transposer, I believe is what it's called. We use it. Now, here's a nice thing. Not everyone, I didn't know this initially, like you don't have to have a Planning Center membership in order to use Transposer. So we don't use Planning Center. Planning Center is great. But we do use Transposer on a regular basis.
TRANPOSR.com. Not ER. So
Transposer,
make sure if you're looking this up,
minus the E.
Right.
So we use that every week to take, you know, the Phil Wickham songs or whatever the song is and put them in the key we're going to play them in that Sunday.
That's helped out a lot.
Which, it helps our volunteers, whether it's a guitar player, especially guitar players, piano players, and singers, so that you can actually play along.
Right.
And that's a free resource. Like, that's the beauty of that. Like, rehearsal mix, there's a cost.
Yeah, there is a cost.
There's a cost, a subscription cost. But this is a free thing that you can take your MP3 that you bought and, or hopefully you bought it, the MP3 of the song and put it in the right key for your volunteers. Because again, that's part of equipping them and giving them and resourcing them in the best way possible.
You just have to remind people that it, depending on the key jump, you your vocals might come out like the Chipmunks or Barry Manilow.
Very low or very high. So, but,
yeah.
Well, Chandler, appreciate you sharing in this segment. We've titled Tips, Tricks, and Tools. Before we wrap up, we'd like to share a word for the week. It was several months ago now that I was spending time with my family, and we were actually in California. And my girls, we were at the beach, and my girls were in the water, and they're teenagers, and I love getting in the water, and they were out in the water, and I was just kind of, actually honestly I was kind of in like a mood a little bit. I didn't really want to be there, and so they were like, "Dad, come on, get in the water."
You didn't have your coffee that morning.
I don't think I had enough coffee that day. And they were like, "Dad, come on, get in the water. It's awesome. The waves are crashing. It was actually beautiful."
It's a whole Hallmark moment.
It was.
Yeah. And you're pooping out on the side,
and I was just standing on the beach, and they're like, "Come on, Dad," and I'm like, "No, I don't want to get in the water." I had all these excuses. You know, I have to get dried off. I have to rinse off. I get sandy. I had to take my shoes off. I'm like, you know, my flip flops off, and I had all these excuses. And they're like, "Come on, Dad, get in the water. It's awesome." And I'm watching them just enjoy it. And finally, I was like, "All right, I'll just go," because they wouldn't let me off the hook. And the next thing you know, I'm in up to my toes, and then up to my knees, and then I'm just in, and we're jumping in we're jumping the waves, and it was just awesome. It was really kind of a memory making kind of moment with my kids, and my son ends up in the water, and it was a great little family moment. And I left that moment thinking a little bit about worship, and then you go, what's the connection there? And it was this thought, like, as worship leaders, our job is to lead people to the water. You know, in that moment, I was reminded, like, my kids didn't own the water. Like, they didn't make it. They didn't cause the waves or the beautiful sunshine. But they were just in the water, and they were inviting me into it. And when I finally got over myself and got in the water, it was incredible. And
you reaped the benefits.
I did.
Yeah.
And I think our job as worship leaders is to lead people and invite them into the water. Lead them to the water and invite them into the water. And I see it over and over again as people begin to put their toes in the water that the Spirit of God begins to draw them in, and these beautiful things happen. But just like me, lots of our people have similar excuses. You know, I'm tired on Sunday morning. Yeah. I don't like that song. Why is it hot in here? Maybe they stayed up late. Maybe they got drugged in by their spouse, or maybe they just got in an argument with somebody, or maybe their favorite football team lost on Saturday night, and now they're just kind of pouting. Whatever the reason is, they have lots of reasons to not get in the water and encounter the beauty of the Lord's presence. And our job is just to go, come on in. Like, something beautiful happens. It's just get in the water. Just get in the water and allow God to minister to you through it. And so my word for the week really is, worship leader, lead people to the water. I love this verse where the psalmist says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And I think there's a lot of people, like, if they were really, really honest, and maybe even more so in this season, Christmas season, the holiday season can be joyous and incredible, but it also can be very difficult. If there's an empty chair in your living room or your dining room table, someone's not there this year, or there's been difficult times, difficult things happening. These can be difficult times. And the people that are standing in our services need to encounter Jesus. They need to encounter the living water. I'm reminded of Jesus. He stood up in the last and the greatest day of the feast. Jesus stands up and he says, "I am the living water. Come to me if you're thirsty." And that's really the invitation that we're invited, we're called, I think, to invite people into. It's like, come, Come take a drink of the living water. Come put your feet in the water.
Yeah.
And so lead people to the water, worship leader.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. Because I think, you know, I find myself guilty, even as you talked about that with your family, like those times, like those are, I think, gifts that we've been given, like, sure, you know, moments and invitations, and it's accepting that invitation. And I think on the other side of it, the reality is more times than not, like we look back and we're like, why didn't I do that sooner?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Why didn't I jump into the water sooner? Why didn't I go out and play, you know, in the snow with my kids? And so like that, I think that's the thing, is like, we've got to be at that point where, you know, when we're feeling that prompting or that invitation, that we're saying, you know what, there's a reason why this invitation is being extended to me right now. And maybe I need to just set aside what I've been going through and dealing with.
Sure.
And I need to step out and just move into that invitation. And I think, I mean, that translates to all sorts of things within life, but I think even in the worship realm too, sure, like on a Sunday morning, 'cause you're right. I mean, we're always pushing. I mean, even as we talk today, like, you know, within our churches, like doing a worship night and stuff like that, like we as worship leaders, volunteer, part-time, whatever it might be, and for our people, like we have to, when those invitations come, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And so being willing to just set aside, yeah, that moment and take that step in, because on the other side of it, I think all of us would say that after we did that, God did something.
Well worth it, right?
Yeah.
The sacrifice of time and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. You know, there's something about this side of heaven, as we like to say as Christians, this side of heaven, that I think about a lot, is that through your circumstances, hardships, tiredness and stuff, you'll never have another opportunity in eternity to praise the Lord through that kind of stuff, and jump in. And that's, you know, that's been a really challenging thought at times for my own heart, of being like, oh, Chan, like, you're not going to have another opportunity. It's not going to be like in heaven, right? It's going to be a lot different than this, you know, but right now, persevering through that is a whole different kind of love language to the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's really good. Well,
Chandler, we want to thank you for being here today, man. Thanks for
having me.
Thanks for sharing today. Love your wonders and blunders. And so we'll look back, and the next time we have you on, we'll look forward to more. So
wonders and blunders.
I'll make sure to have some more. Okay.
So when we think about leading people to the water, it gives us a chance to just go, hey, if you're thinking about joining us for Refuel Conference 2025, that's really what Refuel Conference is all about. Mm-hmm. It's about creating space for worship and production leaders and their teams to be together, to be encouraged, and to be equipped to continually the local church in worship, to create space for them to get in the water. Yeah. And encounter the Lord's presence. So refuelconference.com is where you go to just get more information. Our breakouts are now live. So I've had a number of people email us or message us asking, hey, when are those going to be posted? And we have most of them, about 90-some percent of them are all listed there. And so you can go there. It's in the, as I was compiling the list, I just got kind of giddy. I'm like, man, these are going to be awesome. So if you were on the fence, or if you've got some people on your team that weren't sure if they're going to jump in, you can always get more tickets. Go to refuelconference.com for all the information for tickets. And we've got another deadline coming up December 16th. So just grab them before that deadline.
Great Christmas gift to be able to give to some of your people on your team.
100%.
Be great.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chandler, like Chris said, thank you for joining us. Chris, has been great. Great to be together again. And to you listening today, we pray that you have the chance to stay encouraged and stay connected.